Okay, this originally was scheduled to be a Shabbat Shuvah drasha, which I've been giving for the past couple of years in Yeshurun with the Great Synagogue invited. It was usually a morning shiur given immediately after Musaf, or more accurately, immediately after Kiddush. And in the afternoon, I would give a different drasha, a different style, to a smaller group at the OU Israel Center. This year, because of the circumstances that we are all under, that's impossible. Not impossible, but difficult, extremely difficult. Number one, we moved it up in time. And number two, I can't be in Eretz Yisrael at this point in time. So I'm addressing you from Muncie, New York, Besof Ma'arav, but believe me, Libi B'Mizrach, my heart is there with you in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, and in the Yeshurun Shul, which is my preferred Makom Tefillah when I'm in Israel. Next week, OU Israel is sponsoring a major, major 3-day event called Torah in Yerushalayim. I'll be speaking there too on a week from today at noon, your time, Israel time. And you can see details about that if you go on the OU Israel website. But because of that conflict, Yeshurun Synagogue, Mr. David Brager, graciously offered to just move us up an extra week. So you're going to hear a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha before Rosh Hashanah. I guess that's permissible. I'd like to begin by telling you the meaning of the title. I don't think it needs much explanation. But I entitled this drasha, as Teshuvah in Troubled Times. I need not tell you that we live in troubled times of all sorts. The pandemic, COVID, Corona, of course, is a major problem for the entire world. And it's changed the religious lives of all of us in many, many ways. And it's come with all sorts of ramifications, unemployment, poverty, all sorts of difficulties in communication, difficulty in being close to our beloved families, difficulties in travel, on and on and on. And there are other issues going on in the world, here in the United States. Besides all of the above, there are terrible climate issues, forest fires up and down the West Coast, the major flooding especially expected momentarily in the south of the United States, and other difficulties. And we have, Baruch Hashem, rays of light. Baruch Hashem, many of us, most of us are healthy and doing all we can to remain healthy. I urge you to follow the instructions of the authorities and do what has to be done to minimize the effects of this pandemic. But we're in the season of tshuva. We've been in the season of tshuva the whole month of Elul, but the intensity of the theme of tshuva, the need to change ourselves for the better, to repent, to do penitence, to elevate ourselves in any way that we can, that need is more and more on the minds of each of us as Rosh Hashanah approaches just now two days away. And right behind Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, etc. So tshuva is in our minds. But this year we have extra difficulties. The pandemic and the other circumstances that we face have made it very, very difficult to be spiritual, to think. Things are so uncertain. Uncertainty really is the word that captures the environment that we're all in now. It's very uncertain. Who knows what the day will bring? Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Who knows what the coming year, Haba Oleinu Litova, will bring? So how does one do tshuva? How does one reflect? How does one introspect? How do you begin to think about changing your life for the better, your spiritual life, religious life for the better? These are difficulties, and we have various obstacles in the way. Many of us, most of us, can't get to a shul, can't get to a minyan. Maybe we can get to an outdoor minion. But frankly, over here in the New York area, it's getting very cold. The weather is cold. And the outdoor minion is not what it used to be just a couple of days ago. And we have many, many troubles. I don't have to harp on the troubles that we have that interfere with our ability to do tshuva. So I'd like to begin by words of encouragement. Who can give us encouragement any better than Harav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha? I've prepared an outline and a source sheet, which our host, technician, Mr. David Hochhauser, will occasionally share with you on the screen. So you're watching the screen, you will see, as you see right now, the outline that I prepared. And the first item on the outline are words of encouragement from Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, from his classic work, Orot HaTeshuvah, The Lights of Teshuvah. Often is translated as the lights of penitence. I prefer the lights of change. Teshuvah means return, the lights of return. There's a passage he has, it's in the 17th perek, the 17th chapter of the book. And I'll just read you to you and translate excerpts of this beautiful, beautiful passage. This is Roman numeral 1 on the source sheet that you see. Words of encouragement from Rav Kook. Rav Kook writes, Kishirotzim be'emet lashuv, when a person really wants to return, and that I'm sure, absolutely sure, applies to all of you listening at this moment. We all want to do tshuva, but there are things in the way. So Rav Kook says, what do? How come you feel frustrated? Maybe you feel blocked. I can't move ahead with doing tshuva. I have so many other things in my mind, anxieties, worries, concerns, illness, unfortunately, death. Many of us have confronted the death of loved ones, myself included. My dear sister Esther Book, Aleha Shalom, passed away just before Pesach from this horrible magefa, from this horrible pandemic. And all these things get in the way of our doing tshuva. Rav Kook recognizes this, and he says, "Aval pi shem ukavim bishvil kama maniot." Even though we are prevented because of many, many impediments, there's so much in the way of our doing tshuva. For example, he writes, "Kamo mechamat bilbul dat." We're all confused and worried and anxious. "Oh mechamat lachalishut koach." We just don't have the power. We are exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. Who has the koach to do tshuva? Oh, mechamat iyecholet l'taken dvarim shehem nogin ben adam l'chaveiro. Tshuva means, especially tshuva that we've done in our relationships with others, it requires re-engaging with the other person. If we insulted someone, we have to apologize to him. No, go find him now. Go communicate with somebody who's in lockdown, who's in quarantine. You can't reach them. You certainly can't meet with them face to face to begin to repair the relationships that you feel responsible for somehow having spoiled. So what do? So Rav Kook writes, "Aval pi shehayikuv hu gadol meyod." Even if the impediment, what's getting in the way, is gadol meod, it's very great, it's very difficult in our current situation to repair what we've broken, with other people especially. Nevertheless, says Rav Kook, don't give up. Even though we feel that our heart is muchrach, v'halev muchrach lihiyot nishbar, mipnei yediyat godel hachovah hamutelet al ha'adam l'taken et kol pegamav. Our heart is broken because we know how much we are obligated to rectify things, to readdress ourselves and our surroundings, our families, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors, etc., our enemies. Nevertheless, he says, and this is the key words, Mikol makom kevan shaharatzon lashuv b'tshuvah hu amitz. If you have the will, the power is amitz, you really want to do tshuva, then accept that. Tzrichim lekabel et ha'ara hazot. Accept that illumination, that light that shines within us. And don't worry about that. Yikuvim shel I hashlamat ha'tshuva. The tshuva won't be perfect. You don't have the koach. you're emotionally upset, you can't reach the people or certainly see face to face the people you'd like to re-engage with in a better way, nevertheless, the light of tshuva shines. He concludes this passage with something ironic. He says, remember, ha-tshuva hi tshuva penimit. Ultimately, tshuva is penimit. It's inside of us. And even though we can't get it out because of the current situation, the troubled times we live in, because, he says, shehi michusa baharbe misachim chotzitzim, because it's blocked by the many masks, that we have to wear are blocking us. And we don't have the ability to get through those masks. Remember, we have an Or Elyon Shehufia Aleinu. We have a divine light shining, and that light can get us through these impediments, the troubled times, and we can do tshuva in troubled times. These are the encouraging words of Rav Kook. Roman numeral 2, as you can see on the source sheet. And David, you don't have to leave the source sheet up all the time. I let them see my face too. And what I'd like to share with you is a definition of this topic, of the topic that I have tried to describe in the title. The topic is doing good versus doing no harm. And that phrase is encapsulated in the words of Tehillim, of David HaMelech, Sur Meira, turn away from evil, va'asei tov, and do good. Remember, the full context of those words are Mihoish Hechofetz Chayim, who is the person who wants life, spiritual life, physical life. Ohev Yamim Liroto, he likes days, he likes to see good. This describes our situation, our existential situation beautifully. We are all Chafetzim Bachayim, and we are all want to see Liroto. So Tehillim tells us very carefully, very succinctly, Nitzor Lishon Chameira, guard your tongue against Ra, against evil. Usvasecha Midaber Mirma, guard your lips not to express deceit, to express anything negative about other people. Sur Meira, turn away from Ra. Va'asei tov, and do good, va'kei shalom, v'radfeyu. Seek peace and pursue peace. Sur meira va'asei tov. So the great Chofetz Chaim has a classic work. Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen was his name. He's known for his major work called Chofetz Chaim. But he's also written many, many other works. And one is entitled Shmirat HaLashon, the importance of guarding our tongue. And toward the end of that work consists of two parts, Chelek Aleph, Chelek Beit. This is the second Chelek, and it's chapter 27. And he focuses on these four words, the words of our talk. Sur Meira Va'asei Tov, turn away from bad, evil, wrongdoing, Va'asei Tov, and do good, do what's right. He quotes and bases most of what he's saying upon a thought of the Vilna Gaon, Rabbeinu Eliyahu of Vilna, in the Gaon's commentary on Sefer Mishle. I'm not going to go into that particular passage in the Vilna Gaon, but here is what the author of the Chofetz Chaim extracts from that passage. And that is that these words, the words we find in Tehillim, Tzadik versus Rasha, those terms are confined to a person who sins ben adam lamako. His or her sins are between a person and God. The person didn't put on tefillin. The person ate something which was not kosher. The person didn't keep Shabbat properly, whatever. Then that person is called either a tzaddik or a rasha. However, b'shem tov v'ra, the words good and bad, tov and ra, munach, those terms apply al inyanim shebein adam lechavero. They relate to interpersonal relationships, relationships between man and man, between people, one person and the other. And then he gets into what really is the takeaway from this particular talk. What are some of the mitzvot for which you perform them, you're called ra? What you're doing is ra, it's evil. And what are some of the mitzvot which, when you do them correctly, you and they are called tov? So he gives a list. They're all ben adam l'chavero, they're all interpersonal relations, human relations. But let's reflect on each of them, and I'm going to ask you in your own minds, and as the takeaway, to reflect upon these specific sins to the extent that you might be guilty of them in some small way. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Hinei sur meira, when the Pasuk in Tehillim, by the way, it's Kapitel Lamed Dalet, which we recite on the Sukkah de Zimran, Shabbos and Yom Tov. Sur meira kolel kol ha'inyanim shel ra. The whole list, he says, of things which are ra, which you are to turn away from. Number one, gazel, theft, stealing. All right, you're going to look at me and say, Rabbi Weinreb, I don't steal. I haven't stole a penny in my entire life. Well, perhaps that's true, but I ask you to really think, because stealing is a big category in our halachic system, and it involves many things. Stealing a penny or two, or a half a shekel or two, overcharging or underpaying, etc., is considered theft. There's another type of theft with the Gemara, Maseches Brachos, refers to, and that's theft, gezel ani, stealing from a poor person. This is a Gemara, Maseches Brachos, Navava Medbeis. I mentioned this in last year's Drosha, if I remember correctly. Stealing from a poor person. Well, Rashi, Rashi there, Alatar, asks a question. A poor person has nothing to steal. What do you mean you steal from a poor person? By definition, the poor person has nothing. He's an anive evyon. He has nothing. What do I mean you stole from a poor person? And that's a terrible, terrible sin. So Rashi says, if you see a poor person or any person who expects a greeting from you. You're walking in the street early in the morning on your way to shul, and somebody's walking across the street, and he sees you and you see him, and you don't wave to him and say, good morning, you're guilty of theft. That person has the right to expect a good morning. Amen, she says good morning to another person in the street. Or good afternoon, or good evening, or Shabbat Shalom, as the case may be. If you deny him that, you walk ahead because you're a fatracht, you're in a different world, or because you want to pretend you don't see him, or you're in a hurry, or whatever, you're stealing from the other person. So Rashi says, if a person is poor and has nothing, doesn't have a penny, he at least wants a good morning from you. And if you don't give him a good morning and a smile on your face, and maybe give him a donation if he's asking for it, then you're stealing from him. And in the case of a true aniva evyon, you're stealing from him the only thing he has. He has nothing material, nothing financial. He only has his self-esteem. And if you don't give him a nice good morning and a proper welcome, you're stealing from him the only thing he has. That's a type of theft. And the same thing is true for the other categories that the Chafetz Chaim lists. Ona'ah, deceit, overcharging, underpaying. Ribis, interest, charging interest against a fellow Jew. Ulahonot lezulato, insulting another person, calling him a name, even calling him a nickname. The Gemara says you shouldn't call people by their nicknames. A person's name is Tzvi Hirsch, call him Hirsch. I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva, his memory should be a blessing. Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Shmuel Dod, Rav Shashik. When we came into his class, we were 18, 19-year-old boys. Each of us had nicknames. I had a friend named Rocky, a friend named Pepsi, a friend named Duke, etc. And my name was Heshi. That's how they called me. And Rav Shapshik said, that's got to stop in my class, boys. You know? Rocky, your name is Elio. Pepsi, your name is Ephraim Fischel. You know? And of me, he said, Heshi? What kind of name is Heshi? Amol v'tezayn arov. One day he'll be a rabbi, and you're still going to call him Heshi? Zaynomen is Tzvi Hirsch. His name is Tzvi Hirsch. That's a dignified name. You call a person by a name that's not quite his, that's also a type of put down. And put downs are theft. You're stealing the person's self-esteem. Ulahal bin panav, embarrassing another person, that's one of the worst crimes on the list. So these are things which we have to really consider when we think of sur meira, turn away from evil. Evil doesn't mean, you know, a mass murderer. Evil means a person who is thoughtless and heartless and cruel and unkind and impolite and discourteous to other people. That's theft, because you're stealing sometimes materially from the other person, but even if you're stealing from the person's good feeling, sense of self, that's also theft. That's sur meira. Stay away from that. And that's a theme for us to really think about in our own lives over the next, well, forever, but certainly over the next week or so. Then Chafetz Chaim says, what about the good side? Sur meira, turn away from evil. What about asay tov? What does it mean to do good? What are some examples of doing good? The Chafetz Chaim says, kitzdaka, giving charity. Ugemilut chasadim, doing favors for people, helping people out. V'hachzakat mi shemata yado, and supporting somebody who's falling emotionally, financially, socially, who just needs encouragement. Helping him, whatever you can do, with a good word, with a good word, with a compliment, with financial aid, with asking him, do you need a ride to wherever you're going? Do you need help with your packages, etc. Ukfurat meitim, burying the dead, attending funerals, and doing the great mitzvah of halvoyat hameis. Ubikur cholim, visiting the sick, which doesn't only mean visiting the sick. Bikur cholim means helping hospitals that help heal the sick. Doing favors for people who are sick, comforting the family and supporting the family in various ways of people who are sick and unable to sustain their families. All that's part of Bikur Cholim, v'achnasat orchim, having guests, being a good host. V'hashavat aveda, returning lost objects. V'hashavat ha'avot, v'tashlum me'sachir bizmano, paying your employee on time, you know. Some of us have companies and businesses, et cetera, with employees. Paying them on time is a mitzvah in the Torah. Delaying their paycheck is a serious crime. So paying your employees on time is asay tov. And similarly, if you just have a maid, and even a non-Jewish maid who comes to work for you, Erev Shabbos, helps you clean the house, and you don't pay her on time, but if you pay her on time, that's a big mitzvah. That's a mitzvah, that's asay tov. Uchidome, od harbe mitzvah. And certainly the list is not endless, but it's a long, long list of asay tov, of things we can do better. Then he throws in something which is very topical. In just two and a half days or so, we're all going to, well, this year, first day of Rosh Hashanah, there's no shofar, it's Shabbat. But on Sunday, we're all going to try our utmost, despite all of the difficulties we have, we're going to try to hear the shofar, right? So the Chafetz Chaim says, you know, paying your employees on time and giving tzedakah and helping somebody with a smile and a nice greeting and making the other person feel better and visiting the sick, they're also mitzvot, none less than shofar. Certainly not less than shofar this year on the second day of Yom Tov, which is only a rabbinic decree. Only a rabbinic mitzvah, midrabbonon, Yom Tov Sheni. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, listen to this, it's extremely important. He writes, Uchemo sheroinu b'mitzvat shofar, just as we find with the mitzvah of shofar, this Roman numeral 2, you can find it in the Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, you have the outline in front of you, Chelek Beis, Perek Chav Zayin. He writes, when it comes to the mitzvah of shofar, this coming second day of Rosh Hashanah, shekal echad ratz l'kaima, everyone's going to run and try their best to listen to the shofar. So he says, kein tzarech liyot b'chol ha-mitzvot. Shofar has no special yichus, more than tztaka, more than the other mitzvot, benedom l'chavero, more than kibud avaim. That's also a big mitzvah, right? Kibud avaim is in the Aseret HaDibrot. Mitzvah of shofar is not. So he says, not only to do it, to run to do all these interpersonal human relations mitzvot, is just as important, if not more, than shofar. And therefore, tzarich larutz achareihen v'lismoach b'kiyumam. just when we go to shofar, we go and rush and do our best to hear the shofar. That's what we'll be doing in a few days. But we do it with simcha. We do it, Baruch Hashem, Shechayonu v'kimonu v'giyonu, I'm alive here to do this mitzvah. The Chofetz Chaim says, every mitzvah we do should be done with simcha. Going to the hospital to visit a sick person should be done with simcha. I'm doing one of God's mitzvahs and helping another person in some way. And we say this every day in the tefillah. As he says, Uchemo she'anu omrim b'chol yom, al kein Hashem elokeinu b'shachveinu uvikumenu nasiach b'chukecha v'nismach. God, we want to do your mitzvot b'simcha. So we'll do the shofar b'simcha, and certainly the mitzvot of sukkah v'lulav, we will do b'simcha, right? So we should do all these mitzvot b'simcha. Asay tov means not only do good, but do good b'simcha. This is the musar, the teaching of the Chofetz Chaim, and this is his definition of Ra and Tov. Ra and Tov are interpersonal categories, right? If you cheat a person from a smile, if you do anything negative to harm or insult or degrade or in any way embarrass another person, that is Ra, that is evil, all right? And if you do a person a small favor, and if you give tzedakah, visit the sick and help bury the dead, etc., etc., you are doing Tov. You are doing the good. This is the Chofetz Chaim's teaching, which is really the takeaway of this particular talk. Let's move on to category 3. What comes first? Here it is, a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. We want to begin doing tshuva. And we've done some bad things in our lives. And we'd like to start doing some more good things, or to do them a little bit better than we've been doing them. So what do we do first? What's the priority? Eliminate evil or do good? So this I find in my readings to be a dispute. Many people say first get rid of the evil, all right? Then move on to the good. And some say, no, start doing good. Put the evil aside. I want to explain to you the two positions from two great Hasidic leaders, neither of whom are the most famous Hasidic leaders, but both of whom had a lot to teach us. One is the Rebbe of the Hasidim. He was a descendant of the Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin. The Yisrael of Rizhin had many sons, and their Hasidut split into various different families. So Rizhin is one, Biyan is one, Chortkov is one, Sadegur is one. And there was one that is pronounced in Yiddish as Shatin. Shatin the Hasidim, the Shatin the Rebbe. It's spelled in Hebrew and in English as if it should be pronounced Husiyatin, Hushiyatin, Shiatin the Rebbe. So the Shiatin the Rebbe lived in Eretz Yisrael in Tel Aviv. I'm speaking of the Shatan the Rebbe who came from, I guess it was the Ukraine, or perhaps at that point it was Austria, in the 1930s, Austria-Hungary, in the 1930s, to Eretz Yisrael and lived in Tel Aviv. His successor and son-in-law was Rabbi Yaakov, the Ohole Yaakov, the Shatan the Rebbe, who lived well into the 1950s, perhaps even early, well, I think late 1950s when he passed away. But his father-in-law, Rabbi Stroil of Shatin, had a lot to teach us. And there's a beautiful biography of the Shatin Rebbe, the Ohole Yaakov, and of his son and his father-in-law. Perhaps I can show the book, David, remove the outline for a second, fine. This is the book. It's called Toldot Yaakov. It's written by a contemporary writer, Meir Tzvi Gruzman, who's written many, many good books. This is one of them, Toldot Yaakov. The man in the gray beard is Reb Yaakov, the Rebbe of Shatin in Tel Aviv. He died in Tel Aviv now, it was 60, 70 years ago. The man in the darker beard also has passed away now, is his son, the son of the Ohole Yaakov, known as the Siach Yitzchak. But the father-in-law of the first person, of Rav Yaakov, the grandfather of Rav Yitzchak, was of Yisrael of Shatin, and he had an interesting thing to say. It's described in an article that was written upon the yard site of this Shatin Rebbe, Rav Yisrael, by a relative of his Another Hasidic Rebbe, the Rebbe of Sadegur, Sadegera Rebbe, Reb Shloimenu, who also now has passed on. So he writes as follows. In describing my colleague, my relative, my dear mentor, the Shatan Rebbe of Yisrael Friedman of Shatan, this is what he said about Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. And this is his position. His position is a strong one. First, you got to get rid of the bad, and then you move on to the good. That's his position. It's explained by Reb Shloimenu of Sadeger. Bahasarat hara, ra'a, he, Reb Yisroel, saw in removing evil, tanai muktam, a prerequisite, an initial requirement. In order to do good, you first got to get rid of the bad. Tanai muktam, la'asiya tatov. The prerequisite to doing good is getting rid of the bad. Sur may rise first. Ein tov v'ra yecholim l'shamesh barvuvia. You can't be schizophrenic. You can't have both good and bad in you. You got to get rid of the bad and then you move on to the good. Kishem shi'i efshal livnot al yesod ra'ua. Just like you can't build a house on a faulty foundation, build a beautiful house with all the improvements and safety measures, but the foundation is rotten. No, foundation is rotten, the whole house is going to collapse. Keini efshal la'asot et hatov al yisod ru'ua shel tzviyut u'machshavot mekulkalot. You can't build a house of good upon a foundation of hypocrisy, tzviyut, or machshavot mekulkalot, ruinous, ugly thoughts. You can't be a person who's ridden with ugly thoughts, thinks bad of other people, full of sinat chinam, and then give tzedakah, and then go do bikochol. No, first you got to get rid of all the evil, sur meira, and then asei tov. This is a position of many. It says first in the pasuk, sur meira v'asei tov. So it makes sense to assume that first you got to get rid of the bad and then the evil. And that is, I understand from people who are experts in these matters, that this is the position of many, many great gedolei hachasidut and gedolei hamusar, that people of the Musar movement who say you got to work on getting it out of your system, getting rid of all that bad stuff, and then move on to the good. However, there's another point of view expressed by many, many other writers and thinkers, and gedolei hachasidut and gedolei hamusar. One of them is a man, a great Hasidic Rebbe of the middle 1800s, named Rabbi Yecheskel of Kuzmir, the town of Kuzmir. I must own up to the facts, and that is that this Rabbi Yecheskel of Kuzmir is the grandfather of the great-grandfather of the grandfather of my dear wife, Chavi. Chavi is a granddaughter of the Rebbe of Mojitz, Rab Shaul, and Rab Shaul's grandfather was Rab Shmuel Eliyahu of Zvolin, and Rab Shmuel Eliyahu's father was Rab Yecheskel of Kuzmir. So it goes back 6-7 generations, but he had a lot to teach us. And he believed very strongly, if you've got inside of you bad stuff and good stuff, you know what? Leave the bad stuff alone. It'll go away eventually and concentrate on doing good. Asei tov comes first. And to prove his point, he proves it not with a pasuk and not with a gemara, but rather with a story. Simple story. In the country he lived in Poland, Kuzmir is not far from Lublin in Poland. So in those days, there was a big yirid, a big fair in the center of town where people came to peddle their goods. However, these could have been Jews or mixed Jews and non-Jewish Polish people, or everybody would come to sell their wares and to buy whatever they bought. And often there would be young children who were also worked for the family. It was great poverty, of course, in those times, in those places. And little children, young girls, young boys, would also be there peddling whatever they had. So when this Yarid, in this big fair, this big bazaar, there was a little girl, young girl, who had an apple cart, and she was peddling apples. However, in every little town, there was what's called in Yiddish, a chevra ganovim, a band of imps, of waifs, of kids, who were thieves. They were also Nebuch destitute, and they would come to the look around when the little girl wasn't looking, or even when she was looking, they'd run up into the apple court and steal a bunch of apples and run away. And that's what happened one fine day. And so the little girl saw, I have here these 2 bushels of apples, and these little kids came along and they swiped 4 apples from me. I better go chase them. And she goes to chase them. Peskel Kuzmis says, if I was there, I would tell this little girl, no, don't chase them. Because if you chase them, you're going to leave your apple carts unguarded, and some other little kids are going to come along and take away all your apples. So the thing to do is let them keep the 4 apples that they swiped, and you stay there and guard your apples. Sur meira, ignore what's bad, and make sure you protect what's good. Build on what you've got. Forget about what your losses are. Cut your losses and move on. And protect what you have and build on what you have. Sur meira, leave the ra alone, va'asei tov, and do good. And the Becheskel Tukov Kuzmir taught that this is something for all of us to know at this time of year. Don't get hung up on all the things you did wrong. Forget about it. It's just going to be guilt. And guilt, as we know psychologically, can be paralyzing. Don't do it. Let go of the bad. Move on and do good. Do good, do good, do good. The bad will evaporate over time. Or you'll come back to it later when you're in a better position emotionally, materially, whatever. I'd say tov, that's the way to go. Now this machlokes, I'm sure, has implications for all of us at this time. We've all done things that we can feel guilty about. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And obviously, there are those who disagree. He says, no, you got to really dig inside yourself. And after all, on this time of year, all this week or all this month, and we've been saying, Shamnu, Vagadnu, Gozalnu, we sinned. Of course, we have to recognize our sins and commit us, but don't overdo it because you're wasting your time. Build, do good, do things constructive. Ignore the bad. Sur meira, leave it alone. Sur meira, va'asei tov. Action, tov, move ahead. Very, very important. In the outline, now looking at the clock, and I don't want to go over much over the hour, but in the outline I refer to a passage in Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sefer Sharei Tshuva, which can be applied to this machlokas in the following way, and I'll be very brief. Rabbeinu Yonah is a Rishon, lived now 700-800 years ago, and he wrote a whole book. A whole sefer about tshuva, classic. And near the beginning, he lists various ikarim, various major principles about tshuva. And one principle, or ikar hasheni, is charata, remorse. You have to have remorse. All right. So he says as follows. You know, there's 2 major components of tshuva. There are several major components. He lists quite a few. But there are 2 that he focuses on in this passage. One is charata, remorse, feeling guilty. Vidui, ashamnu, baganu, alchei, shechatati, on and on. Okay, we can move back to the image, away from the outline for a moment, David. And thank you. And that's one component. Another component is azivat achet. Leave sin, change your ways. Which comes first? What do you do first? Remorse or correct your behavior? The feeling of guilt or action toward the good? Similar issue as our issue of Sur Meira Va'asei Tov. Rabbeinu Yonah writes so beautifully. The distinction here is between a person who occasionally sins. Once in a while, I speak some gossip. Yeah, not often. Versus the person who is a gossip. That's his or our lifestyle. Gossip. He's the gossip. He's the Baal Lashon Hara. All right. So he says there's a big difference between the two. If you've done an occasional sin, whatever it is, we've all done. There's nobody who's a tzaddik. Nobody's perfect. So we've done a sin or 2 sins or 3 sins or 5 sins occasionally spread over the past 12 months. All right, if that's the case, spend a little time being guilty. And fine. And really think about it and feel a little guilt. It's okay. That's not going to paralyze you. And then after that, go on, leave sin and do good things, start talking better about people, etc. Apologize to those whom you hurt, maybe, etc. However, suppose a person's entire lifestyle is the sin. In this case, my example, lashon hara. The person every morning wakes up, gets on the phone and slanders everybody in the community, gets on their little whatever, laptop or iPhone or smartphone or whatever, and maligns everybody that they know and even people that they never heard of. And does irremediable harm to people, okay? Such a person, that's him, that's her, that's who they are, that's their identity, that's their lifestyle, then don't spend time being guilty because it's endless. You know, you've insulted so many people, you're going to be so guilty, you'll never move on. In that case, leave the guilt behind and just start doing good. Just don't get on that phone again. Don't write these nasty letters and nasty emails. Don't talk to the neighbors about the other neighbor, et cetera, et cetera, and move on. And this could be a way of reconciling this machloket, asur meira or ase tov. If you've done a little ra, okay, feel guilty. Feel guilty and then do ase tov. But if your lifestyle is ra, then don't even bother feeling guilty. Just move on quickly. Move away from all that lifestyle. Change yourself completely to the extent that you can. And we all have sometimes backsliding. But nevertheless, move on, ase tov. That's my way of looking at this machloket between the Shatan Rebbe and the Kuzmira Rebbe. Sor Meira, Saito. So Rabbi Yoni Yonah suggests, perhaps as I'm looking at it, that Sor Meira means the little bit of Ra that you know you've done, be guilty about that. Shlo Kaporis, okay? But the person who's so imbued in this particular sin, whatever it is, that it's become his or her lifestyle, then change the lifestyle. Ase tov. Aziva tachet. I'd like to share with you something from a fascinating source. And I'm not sure exactly what to make of it, but I tell you what I think. And that's Roman numeral 4. We have challenges to our tshuva resolutions on all sides, even from Esav and Yishmael. Now, Esav and Yishmael are biblical figures, as we all know. But in Jewish tradition, we identify Esav with Christianity, with Rome, with Edom, and Yishmael with Islam, with the Muslim religion. Esav and Yishmael. I came across a sefer called Magid Ta'aluma, which really means telling the hidden secrets. And the Sefer is written by a great Hasidic master, the author of the B'nei Yisoschor, Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, late 19th century from the G'dolei HaChasidus. And he has a commentary, a two-volume commentary on Masechet Brachot. In Masechet Brachot, those of you who study the beginning pages of the Talmud, know there's a fascinating passage on Davov Amid Aleph. And it's a passage about all things, of all things, it's a passage about demons, devils, shadim, demons. And there's a passage of about 10, 12 lines, which speaks about the fact that we are so surrounded by demons, ugly demons, chicken-feeted demons. Demons have chicken feet. That's how we can see their footprints in the sand, the Gemara tells us. All around us, we're surrounded by them. And you know, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, the capital Yoshe B'tzeiser Elyon, which reads, Yipol mitzitcha elef urvovo miminecha. May 1,000 fall from your left hand and 10,000 from your right hand. So the Gemara says that all of us, each and every one of us, everybody here, and Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of people watching this, listening to this. And after this is over, it'll be online and people can watch it for the next 10, 12 days or however long it'll be online. So we're surrounded by these demons. What's the significance of the 1,000 and the 10,000? The Magid Mitaluma, the author of Nayisoscha, suggests that what's this 1,000 and 10,000? I really don't know. But here's what I think. I think that we have challenges in our doing good, and we have challenges in our not doing evil, right? We have temptations to do evil all the time, but we don't, all right? But the challenge is on the left side. Most of us don't do evil, but we still have 1,000 challenges, 1,000 demons kind of pushing us on, like in the cartoons, the red devil with the horns and the forked in his hand, who's pushing us to do evil, to do ra, whom we have to turn away from, sur meira. And there's 1,000 of those devils. But there are 10,000 telling us not to do good. The demons who want to stop us from doing good outnumber by 10 times those demons that want to prevent us from doing bad, that want to make us do bad, and we have to prevent them, right? As he puts it, Hayaminim heim miskabrim besibat bitul mitzvah saseh. The guys on our right hand, the 10,000, they want to stop us from doing good. But Hasmolim and the lefties, the 1,000 on the left side, they want to get us to do mitzvos lo saseh. So why is that 10,000 getting in the way of our doing good and 1,000 pushing us to do bad? So he says, because after all, most of us don't do bad, all right? So therefore, 1,000 people enough to push us to try to get us to do bad. But to do good, that takes, I got to wake up in the morning, it's got to cost me a few bucks, you know, I'm going to, I can't afford it, I need the money, I have no time, etc. to do good. So 10,000 demons have to push us to not to do good. And we've got to overcome 10,000 Yitzrei Hara, 10,000 demons. To do bad, we only have to overcome, not to do bad, we only have to overcome 1,000. So that's the Magid Taluma of Davov Amad Aleph. A blot before, he adds something to this. The Gemara says, that a person called Akore Kriyashmal Mitoso, Ki Ilu Oiches Cherev Shel Shtei Pios Biyodo. That a person who, Shel Shtei Pios Biyodo. In other words, if a person says Kriya Shema every night, he says Kriya Shema before he goes to sleep. That, see, in Daf Hei Amud Aleph, he says that Magid Taluma, that quotes that Gemara, if you read Kriya Shema every night, it's as if you have a double-edged sword. Cherev Shel Shnei Pifios, a song with two mouths, a song with double blades, double-edged sword. What's a double-edged sword? So here again, he says, double-edged sword means you are attacked from the left by those people, those demons who want you to do evil, and you got to resist those. And you have 10,000 enemies who want to stop you from doing good, and you've got to overcome those 10,000. So you need a double-edged sword. One sword for the guys on your left who are trying to push you to do evil, you got to resist them. And 10,000 on the other side, which you need a sword to cut down those who are preventing you from doing good. Who are these demons? And who are on the left and who are on the right? So here's what he says. Yesh klipot yaminim mitzad Yishmael. On the right side, the 10,000 are those from Yishmael. If Yishmael means Islam, the challenge of Islam is 10 times worse. And I think that's probably true these days. Then the challenge of Esav. Yishmael's on the right side, and on the right-hand side. And Esav is on the left-hand side. As he writes, Yesh klipot yaminim mitzad Yishmael, usmolim mitzad Esav. And you've got to resist them. There are challenges to us on all sides, but we're challenged by contemporary culture. We're challenged by Christianity, which I would call the Western culture. And we're challenged in all sorts of ways by Ishmael, the Muslim culture. And these cultures have various ways of being demonic. And we've got to resist those demons. The ones on the right, the Ishmael, and the ones on the left. We have to resist those demons in our cultural environment. We're all surrounded by our cultural environment, no matter how much we want to insulate ourselves because of internet and because of the media, et cetera, et cetera. And we have to resist those temptations, those demons who tempt us to do evil. And we have to resist those who want to prevent us from doing good. We've got to avoid evil, sur meira. We've got to do good, asay tov, and resist the demonic forces around us, left and right, and do the right thing. And it's hard. It's hard to fight off 1,000 demons, and 10 times it's hard to fight off 10,000 demons. But that is the injunction of sur meira v'asay tov. That's what we're enjoined to do, sur meira v'asay tov. I'd like to move toward a conclusion, hopefully on a happier note. I'm giving you a tough assignment. It's doable, as Rav Kook assures us. Even if it's difficult, forget the difficulties. As long as you have the will, as long as your ratzon is amitz, you have courageous will, we can accomplish all these things of sur meira v'asay tov in spite of the challenges from all sides, left and right. I want to share with you two stories, and with this we'll conclude. One is a story of the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech. And I found this story also in the writings in the book I mentioned before, Toldos Yaakov. This story is told by Rabbi Yaakov, the Ole Yaakov, who was a fascinating person. One day, perhaps back in the OU Israel Center, I'll introduce you to his thought contained in the book, the Sefer, two-volume Sefer, Ole Yaakov. But he tells beautiful stories. And this is one from the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech. Listen carefully to this story, because this is really doing tshuva in troubled times. And here's what the story is. There was a man, a chosid, who came to the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech. The Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech was one of the great leaders of the Hasidic movement in the early 1800s. And he really brought Hasidism, which really grew, began in what is today the Ukraine, where the Baal Shem Tov was from, and his major successors. And then Rebbe Elimelech brought it toward Galicia, Poland, etc., more to the west, and was very successful because his students spread it more and more and more. But the Rebbe Elimelech had a chosid who came to him and said, "I'd love, it's before Yom Kippur, it's Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and I know before Yom Kippur, maybe Erev Yom Kippur, you're going to shlok kaparis. You're going to take the chicken and go around your head and say, Zech alufasi, zech tumurasi, this is my exchange. You know, take the chicken and leave me free. That's the minhag of kaparos." So this chassid says to the Rebbe of Elimelech, "I'd like to watch you do kaparos. Can I come and see you, you know, swing the chicken over your head and say, Zech alufasi, zech tumurati?" So Rebbe Elimelech says, "You don't have to come and see me do it. I suggest that you go to the next shtetl over and you go and see the Jewish innkeeper in that shtetl and his wife. They live there and they have an inn with a bar where goyim come and they drink and get drunk, and that's their living. That's their living. And go visit them on Erev Yom Kippur and the eve of Yom Kippur, the night before Yom Kippur, and you'll see already kaparis, what it really means." So the man wondered, "What am I going to do there? I'd much rather see the Rebbe himself do kaporis than go and see some barkeeper, bartender, Jewish bartender, okay, and his wife. But still, one minute ago, that may be surrounded by drunkenness and all sorts of things that are not very pretty. What do I need it for?" But he went. The Rebbe said, "Go." So that's where he went. He comes to the inn. He checks into the room, and then he sits in the main lobby where they're drinking and partying and carousing, men and women mixed together. And it's not a very pretty scene from a religious point of view. But this is the life, this is the panosa of this innkeeper and his wife, and they're serving all the people and giving out the drinks and the wine and the schnapses pouring out and etc. And it goes on for hours and hours. Finally, well after midnight, the last of the party goers and drunkards leaves, and now he's left with the husband and the wife. And they say to him, well, go to sleep. So he goes to his room, but he still wonders what's going to be. And he sees the husband and wife stay in the little lobby area, and they're talking to each other. He sneaks behind something and watches. He wants to see what's going on. I want to see the kaporis. And he sees that the husband says to the wife, okay, you remember the two notebooks I have in the little closet there? Bring me notebook number one. So she brings him notebook number one, and he opens a notebook, and this notebook is a list of all of his sins, all of their sins for the whole year. This man, every time he did a sin, he recorded in his notebook. And he writes in the notebook, one day a poor person came knocking on my door, and I chased him away. I said, I want to hear from you. I'm busy with my own. I can't afford it. Goodbye. And one day someone came to see me, and I really wanted some rooms and I overcharged him. I needed a few bucks. I allowed myself to charge him another dollar for the hour or whatever, and then I overcharged him. And he had a list of such sins, you know, so-and-so. I didn't give him a good greeting in the morning. I didn't say good morning. I didn't say a good Shabbos to a person. These are his sins, and he had a list, a long list of such sins. All right. He looks, they're all both sad. We sinned. Chatanu, Avinu, Poshanu. And he says, take out book number two. So she takes out book number two, notebook number two from the closet, and he opens up that book, and that's a list of all the tzoris that they had during that year. Oy, we never had a child, and we're still crying because of problems of infertility. Oh, the parnasa is terrible. Look what I have to do. I have to sit here with a bunch of drunkards every night. And taxes over the top. Taxes over the top. Oh, we can't afford anything. And neither of us is feeling very well. We're getting older, and I have recurrent headaches. And my wife, Nebuch, has constant problems, stomach problems, and we have all sorts of issues. And we have bad neighbors. And there's a pandemic, and there's a lockdown, and we have to be in quarantine. And if I'm in quarantine, I can't keep open my bar, and I'm completely without an income. Oh, I can't see my dear cousin, I can't go to visit my Rebbe. Oh, I can't go even to the shiurim and the yeshiva. This is long before Zoom, etc. Oh, tzoris. That's book number two. Then He says, let's take these two books and let's talk to God. And the two of them start talking to Ribbono Shel Olam. And he leads the conversation. He says, "Oy, Ribbono Shel Olam, I sinned so much from book number one. I owe you such a great deal because I sinned so much. Oy, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm in debt, really big in debt. But Ribbono Shel Olam, I have this other book. And here, look at all the tzaras you imposed upon us. Didn't help us out. So you owe me some. If we start doing a cheshbon, my sin against my suffering, it gets very complicated. So Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll make you a deal. I'll forgive you for all the tzaras you put me through this year, and you forgive me for all the sins. And this book of tzaras will be zechalifasi v'zetemurasi. To atone for all my sins, take into account all the difficulties that I've had this year, all the sufferings, all the challenges, all the illness, all the poverty that I had to put up with. And that should help me atone for my sins. So this chassid of Rebbe Melech saw this. He was like, wow, what a tremendous lesson. Zechalifasi v'zetemurasi. He came back to the Rebbe Elimelech, and the Rebbe Elimelech said, you know, this is the Pasuk in Tehillim. Listen carefully to this Pasuk. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Lamed Ches, Psalm 38. Hashem Negdecho Kol Ta'avosi, God, all that I wish for is before you. You know everything I want. But Anchosi, and my sighs, my groans, my cries, Mimcha lo nistora, are not hidden from me. So the Rebbe of Eli said, this is exactly what went on here. This old couple in the bar, these innkeepers, they said to Ribbono Shel Hashem, Negdecha kol ta'avasi, God, you know all my taivas, all my desires and all my passions and everything I wanted and all my sins. You know it. You know it. That's book number one. But va'anchosi mimcha lo nistora. You also know everything that I went through this year. You also know my anacha, my yagon v'anacha, my agonies. You also know that. That's not hidden. Let the agonies balance out the sins. Let the agonies balance out the sins. That's Zechalifasi. It's so apt. It applies so well to the situation that we have today. All of us, without exception, all of us in the entire world, have suffered this year in ways that we've never experienced before and are still suffering, and there's no quick, easy end in sight except for what we pray for Ksiva v'chasim etova neshana tova metukam yetz Hashem. But we've suffered so much, we prayed, Ribbono Shel Olam, put our suffering on one end of the scale and our sins on the other end of the scale, and you'll see that our sufferings may have outweighed our sins, and that's our kapara. That's why we say, Salach lonu, kaper lonu, mechol lonu. Finally, we have to end on a hopeful note for the coming of Mashiach. And for this, I turn to a story of Rav Moshe Leib Sasseva. Rav Moshe Leib Sasseva used to always pray for Mashiach to come. Also a great Hasidic sage of the early 1800s. And he, finally, Mashiach came. Mashiach came. So Mashiach came. There's a Yiddish expression, Davan Kegen gain the Mashiach. We have to go and greet Mashiach. So everybody ran to greet Mashiach. And Mashiach looks around. You came, you came, you came, you came. Men, women, children, everybody came to greet me. Very nice. Where's Rav Moshe Leib? Where's Rav Moshe Leib Sasseva? Why didn't he come to greet me? So what's Mashiach going to do? He goes knocking on Moshe Leib Sasseva's door. And he says to Moshe Leib, Ich bin du. I'm here. Mashiach is here. You know, where were you? People came to greet me for the past few weeks and you didn't show up. Where were you? Wo bist du gewesen? Rav Moshe Leib says to Mashiach, No, Mashiach, wo bist du gewesen? Where were you? Where were you, Mashiach? Where were you when we needed you? I can just see us saying it. Mashiach said, Kainu should come tomorrow. All right. And we'll go out to greet him. But some of us are going to feel, I'm not going to greet him just yet. Let him come to me. And when he comes to me, I'm going to say to him, when he says to me, where were you? I'm going to say, Mashiach, where were you? Where were you in the Shnas Tov Shin Pei, which we still have 2 more days to go in Shnas Tov Shin Pei? Where were you through all this suffering, emotional and physical, life and death, all the torture that people went through? Even people who recovered from this pandemic still come with all sorts of side effects and difficulties, mental and physical. Mashiach, where were you? Why don't we want Mashiach now? All right. This is what we hope for a Shnas Geula, a Shnas Refuah, a Shnas Shalom, Mabias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehiru V'yameinu Amen. A good year, a k'siv v'chasim a tova, a sweet year to all of you.